Hey, welcome, welcome. Great to see you today. Welcome to the Edge Church. How's everybody doing today? You guys good? Yeah. I always love the 11:30 crowd because you guys are so awake and alive, you know. I worry about the 9 o'clock people, man. They're all just rolled out of bed and whatever. Hey, today we're continuing this series called Gotcha. We've been talking about the subject of temptation, and this morning, I'm really excited to continue this series. We're going to talk about why do we do what we don't want to do. Maybe you've asked yourself that question before. And it's something that the Apostle Paul wrote about 2,000 years ago. And it's a question that we're still baffled by even all these years later. Why do we do what we don't want to do? It's interesting, isn't it? Next week, I want to encourage you to be back. We're going to talk about when we fall into the trap of temptation, how do we get out of it? And that will be our final week of the Gotcha series next weekend. So I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Sunday as well. But several years ago, there was a remake of an old movie called The Nutty Professor. Did you guys ever see that show? And The Nutty Professor was an old movie like in the 1960s with Jerry Lewis in it. And then Eddie Murphy redid it a few years ago. And I like the Jerry Lewis version a little bit better. It was a little bit tamer. But it was interesting because in the movie, Jerry Lewis plays this professor named Julius Kelp. He's a nerdy, awkward, buck-toothed, unkempt, socially inept chemistry professor. And he's clumsy, he's bumping into things, you know, he's got all these social problems. But he devises this certain potion, and he drinks it, and he becomes Buddy Love. Buddy Love. He becomes like a chick magnet, you know? Women are going crazy, he's got friends, he's popular. You know, he's got all these great looks, and life is going so great for Buddy Love. And so the professor is, you know, drinking a little potion, you know, as often as he can, enjoying this life. But as the movie kind of comes to a screeching halt, this professor that thought that life would be so great to be Buddy Love really discovers that he's become prideful and self-indulgent and self-centered, and his life spins out of control, and it's more miserable than it was when he was just the nerdy professor. This movie was loosely based on an old novel that was written by Robert Louis Stevenson way back in the day called Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Maybe you've read that book or seen that movie or heard that story before, but Dr. Jekyll is a professor, and he drinks a certain potion. He becomes Mr. Hyde. He becomes this dude that goes around the streets of London murdering people in the most disgusting and vile fashion. I mean, he is a piece of work. And he hates the Mr. Hyde side, but he keeps drinking the potion and going back, and he does everything that he can to try to stop, but he has this attraction with these fatal distractions, and it leads him on the path of destruction. And at one key turning point of the whole story, all of a sudden, he turns into Mr. Hyde without drinking the potion, as if his own temptation has consumed him. Then he's having to drink the potion to go back and become Dr. Jekyll, because now he's Mr. Hyde. And tragically, he takes his own life before the police are able to find him out. It's a pretty dark story and a pretty scary story in many ways. But that story has foundations from Romans chapter 7. Today, we're going to look at the worst of humanity and the best of humanity. We're going to look at both. You know, the Bible describes humanity as the worst and best. The Bible is the most pessimistic and optimistic when it comes to human beings. We're going to see in Romans chapter 7 that we have a dark side in all of our lives. We have a propensity to sin, to be prideful, to be angry, to be self-centered. That's just part of our lives. And yet, through the power of Jesus Christ, God can redeem us and empower us and set us free. And we can become people of virtue and character. And we can become loving and gracious and godly. And to see humanity in just one light or the other really is to distort and to be confused about our whole existence. Now, the Apostle Paul begins in Romans chapter 7 speaking of this concept of his own struggle. And it's interesting because in the 7th chapter of Romans, Paul mentions his own struggle with the darkness 46 times. Now, it's easy to talk about temptation and to point the finger at everybody else, but Paul begins by pointing the finger at himself. And a lot of times we read this and we think, man, that is creepy that this guy that was such a man of God struggled in such a way, because Paul had an amazing Christian resume. I mean, just think about it for a moment. He wrote half of the New Testament. He traveled all over the ancient world starting churches. He saw Jesus on the Damascus Road. He was a spiritual father to so many early church leaders. I mean, we could go on and on and on, perform miracles. Paul had all of the stuff. I mean, he was a godly man. And yet, you know what? In spite of all that, he still struggled in his own heart. And I tell you, I find a lot of encouragement in the seventh chapter of Romans, because it reminds me and reminds us today that although we may be really close to Jesus Christ and we may have a mature faith in him, we never get to the point where we don't still have temptations that are around us. And notice what the apostle said here in chapter 7, verse 15. He began by saying that, "I do not understand what I do." You know, it doesn't make sense to me. He says, it's confusing. Why do I do what I don't want to do? It doesn't make sense. I'm confused. And then he goes on, he says he's frustrated in verse 17, "But I can't help myself, because it is sin inside me that makes me do these evil things." And he's frustrated by that. And you know, temptations like that. We find ourselves falling into the pit of temptation, and we're frustrated. Why did I go there? Why did I say that? Why did I think that? Why did I do this? Verse 21, he's defeated. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decided to do good, there is sin there to trip me up. Sometimes we just feel defeated. Man, I've failed so many times before, I don't know what to do, right? I can't go back. I mean, can I ever walk in victory? Can I ever walk with spiritual vitality and strength? Because I have this long track record of falling and stumping my toe over and over and over again. And then he just says in verse 24, it's exhausting. I mean, you just get tired, beat up. He says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And the word wretched just means exhausted. You know, sometimes you're trying to overcome temptation, you just get weary and tired, you know. And Paul dealt with all of those things. And chapter 7, apart from chapter 8, will make you depressed, okay? Because chapter 7 is the pessimism. It's the hard stuff. We need to understand the hard stuff so we can understand the good stuff, because you don't really understand how good the grace of God is till we see our own need for him. So we really have to look at these chapters married together. And I'm so glad they're back to back, chapter 7 and chapter 8, because it makes so much sense. But we can be like the Incredible Hulk when it comes to temptation, you know? You know, all kinds of strength and vigor and ability. But you know, sometimes we can be kind of like Superman with kryptonite around our neck. We can be weak and feeble all at the same time. And we can vacillate between those two, the Hulk and the kryptonite Superman. But God wants us to understand some very powerful truths today about how we can learn to overcome temptation. And here's the big idea, okay, of this whole thing today, is that you can overcome the temptations that are before you by learning to live in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The power of the Holy Spirit, living a life full of the Holy Spirit. Now, God has given us a wonderful, wonderful gift. We have, you know, God the Father, we have God the Son, and we have God the Spirit. And today we're going to talk about that third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has been given to us to help us overcome temptation. Now, he has many roles. The Holy Spirit is multifaceted, for sure. But one of the great roles that he plays in our lives is he helps us to defeat temptation, and he empowers us when we are struggling. And the apostle begins by talking about this in the 16th verse of chapter 7, and he begins by saying, we just need to listen to the Holy Spirit. I know perfectly well that what I'm doing is wrong, and my bad conscience shows that I agree that the law is good. And the role of the Holy Spirit is the convictor. I mean, he's the one that highlights and points out the struggles in our own lives. By the way, sometimes we get a little nervous about the Holy Spirit because we don't like people telling us where we are struggling, right? That's not encouraging. That's not comforting. That's not real exciting. You know, John chapter 16, verse 8 speaks of the Holy Spirit, and it says, when he comes, he, the Holy Spirit, will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, transgression and righteousness. And that sounds kind of creepy and scary. Like, man, I don't want somebody pointing out all my imperfections and flaws, and there's so many of them. You know, what do I do there? But when we feel that sense of remorse and we begin to turn to the Lord, that's when we can find freedom and strength and power. So while the Holy Spirit's role as the convictor is not always the most exciting part of living in relation with Him, it is an important part to help us get back on track and get back to where we need to be. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak through a text message or through a Facebook post, you know. He doesn't tweet. What He does is He just speaks to that, to the conscience, to the heart, you know. And it's that voice inside of us as a follower of Jesus Christ that reminds us when we fall short and when we miss the mark. And the hope is that we can turn and change so we can live this life of freedom. So we need Him saying the hard things to us in order that we can become all that God wants us to be. It's kind of like several years ago, I was speaking at my last church, and it was the late service, and I walked out on stage and preached a message about temptation with my fly down. I mean, you just think about that for just a minute. I mean, or try not to think about that too much. I was so embarrassed when I came off of the stage and realized what had just happened. I said to the guys backstage, I said, why didn't you tell me? And they said, Ryan, we didn't want to hurt your feelings. We didn't want to embarrass you. And I was like, well, thanks a lot. There were two of you guys, and there were 200 people in the church service. I mean, it would have been a lot nicer just to be embarrassed in front of two people instead of 200 people. You know, you guys weren't looking out for me. I mean, come on, what's the deal there? And they said, well, we just didn't want to embarrass you. Thanks a lot for that. I needed somebody to say something that was a little tough to me. Ryan, you know, zip up your zipper. That would prevent me from embarrassing myself in front of others. And you know, that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit wants to correct us so we don't embarrass ourselves in front of others, so that we don't live lives full of addictions and bondage and struggle and heartache and strife. I mean, the way to begin to live this life of freedom is to acknowledge the problem so we can fix it, right? If we never put our finger on what the issue is and why we're having this temptation and this heartache and this struggle, then we can never walk in freedom. So the role of the Holy Spirit can be uncomfortable, but it is so necessary. And I tell you, I am so thankful that God has given us the Holy Spirit to highlight and to say these things to us, because if we did not, we would make so many more mistakes and fall into so many other traps. Now, when the Spirit speaks, we have several different options. I mean, we can turn it off. We can say, I don't want to listen to that. Bunch of nonsense. We can receive it. We can say, man, you know, that's a great word. I need to go make a change. I need to apologize to somebody. I need to work this out. I need to figure out what I need to do to be different. Or we can just shut it down. Just say, man, I don't want to hear that. And listen, the more that we turn off the voice of the Holy Spirit, the less that His power and His strength will flow in our lives. So a dynamic faith, a dynamic relationship with God is one that the Holy Spirit is pointing those things out in our lives. And by the way, the closer that we get to God, the more imperfections we see in our own lives. Do you know that to be true? I mean, if we think we got it all going on, we got it all figured out, oh, I never struggle, I got a great life, everything's perfect, I don't struggle with temptation, there's no gotcha in my life, then you really haven't looked in the mirror too much. I mean, because there's not a person that's here today that doesn't struggle with the temptations. And the more we see God for who He is, the more we see how we fall short. But here's the great news. Here's the great hope. The power of the Holy Spirit's role is not just to highlight our struggles, but it is to empower us to overcome the temptations that are before us. So it's not just the hard side, it's not just the discomfort, but there's also this point of empowerment. And let's look at this right here from chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. Paul realizes that to live a new life, that the Holy Spirit has to be the source of spiritual vitality. You know, the Scripture tells us that apart from me, meaning Jesus, that the Christian life is not just difficult, but it's impossible. And maybe some of us today are frustrated and burned out in the spiritual realm because we have been trying to fix our own temptations by our own efforts. And it's a dead-end road. and you're tired and you're frustrated and you feel like the Apostle Paul in chapter 7, you're talking about, man, I don't know if I could do it anymore. Sometimes people say to me, Ryan, you know, I tried being a Christian. I tried to follow the Lord. It didn't work for me. So now I'm not a believer anymore. You know, you can't live the Christian life by yourself. If you try to do it by yourself, you will only have frustration. You need help. What did Paul say in verse 24 and 25 here in Romans chapter 7? He said, what a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. What was Paul saying? He's saying, man, I need some help. I need somebody. I need someone to help me. And that someone is Jesus Christ. So sometimes we see where we are. We see our own frailty, our own struggles, our own temptations. We see where we want to be. Man, I want to live out the Sermon on the Mount. I want to follow the Ten Commandments. You know, I want to love the Lord. I want to live a life of virtue and character. But how can I get here when I'm here? And if the only answer for you is to try harder and to put some more elbow grease into it, you're going to utterly be frustrated. But listen, when the Holy Spirit begins to lead and direct in your life, He will set your life on a direction with a vitality that you have never known before. And so the Christian life is not impossible. It's just one that is necessary to be infused by the power of the Spirit of God. And Paul says, man, I need some help. Who will deliver me? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what the gospel is all about. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The message of hope and goodness is that we have all fallen short, but God sent His Son Jesus to live a perfect life, to die on a cross, and then on the third day to raise from the grave. Why? So we could have new life in Him. So we could have a new experience. We could have a new perspective. We could have a new attitude. That we could have a new life. That God could forgive us for all of our shortcomings and failures, and that we could embrace the future. And now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can follow the Lord with all of our strength. So we need to live a new life. And when we live the new life, we let the Spirit give us new desires. Now check this out in Romans 8, 9 through 11. This is where it gets really, really good. Okay? Look at this. You, however, are not in the realm of flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But it is Christ in you, even though your body is subject to death because of the sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit that lives in you. So if we feed our flesh, we get flesh results. If we feed our spirit, we get spirit results. But look at this. The Spirit gives these new desires. And you really got to love verse 11 where it says, and the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is now living in you. That's something to get excited about, Edge Church. I mean, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is now living in you. That's the power of the Spirit of God to liberate us, to change us, to conform us, to empower us to become the people that God has called us to be. That's something to get excited about. I mean, that's something to rejoice in, right? I mean, you're not just stuck out there by yourself trying to overcome temptation by your own efforts and by your own ingenuity. Yeah, you can read some self-help books and you can go to a seminar and those can be helpful for a little while. But listen, if you want to have radical change in your life, you need the Spirit of God moving in you. Let the Spirit give you new desires. So who says that you can't break an addiction, right? Who says that you can't break that cynical, negative attitude? Who says that you can't become different? Because you can through the power of Jesus Christ. And listen, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is now living in you, then there is nothing you cannot accomplish. So let the Spirit give us these new desires. New desires. Now, we got to feed the things of the Spirit. I mentioned that a minute ago, but in verse 5, Paul begins to talk about this. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on fleshly desires. Now, the flesh is just the way of temptation, our own selfishness, our own appetites. God, I want to do my own thing, okay? But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So the question is, are we going to have our mind focused on the spirit, or is our mind going to be focused on the flesh? And these two things cause a tug of war in our life. I mean, they cause a conflict, right? They're pulling and warring against every one of us has a tug of war in our own hearts, right? There's the battle between what we want to do and who we want to become. And then there's the battle with that dark side, that Mr. Hyde or that buddy love, that thing that we so much have a fascination with but we know is wrong. And these two forces war against each other. And if we feed one more than we feed the other, then that's what we get. It's kind of like if you see a kindergarten out walking their 150-pound dog, and the dog sees a squirrel, what happens? That kindergartner is going to eat some concrete, man, some asphalt. Boom, 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 boom. There's nothing you can do to stop it. Big, strong dog, right? Sometimes that tug of war in our spirit pulls us in places that we don't want to go. And to help us really understand this, we need to welcome the Edge Church tug of war team. Let's give these guys a round of applause right now. We went out, I got to tell you guys this, we went out and found the biggest, strongest guys in our church to be on the Edge Church tug of war team. And so, all right, who wants to be the spirit today? Okay, you guys want to be the spirit? Okay, all right, so Brandon, you guys are the flesh, okay, is that all right? Okay, all right, last service, Brandon wanted to be the spirit. So you guys are the flesh, you guys are the spirit. And so here's what begins to happen. As we begin to feed the spirit, we begin to think about the things of God, we begin to meditate on scripture, we begin to pray, we commit ourselves to the habits necessary for spiritual growth. What happens? Well, the spirit begins to pull, and we begin to win the victory, right? At the same time, if we begin to feed ourselves with things of the flesh, you know, maybe it's the people that we hang around with at work. Maybe it's the movies that we watch. Maybe it's just the negative patterns that we've established in our lives. And that begins to be the character of our lives. Then we begin to pull the spirit, the control of the spirit, this direction, and the flesh dominates. And what God wants us to do is to live a life of freedom and power and strength. So here's what happens. We begin to struggle with temptation. We commit ourselves to some of the habits necessary for spiritual growth. And Esker, you know, why don't you be prayer and Bible study, okay? And you come on over here to this side, okay? And now all of a sudden, you got a little more power, a little more strength, right? Because you're feeding the spirit, the spiritual person. And when that happens, then we begin to win battles over our own appetites and desires. At the same time, what sin would you like to be today? Pride. Okay, that's a good sin, right? All right, that's good. Don't say adultery or something like that. That wouldn't be good. You definitely not. Okay, so Esker's pride. And so when he begins to come over here, and then pride begins to pull, and then John, you be anger and hostility, okay? So now we fill our lives with these things, then what begins to happen? Then this begins to have control of our lives, and the spirit is power and control is limited because we're feeding our own flesh. Paul says we have to meditate and to focus on the things of God, and when we do that, then we get spirit results. Hey, let's give these guys a round of applause today for being up here. You guys were fantastic. Great job. Great job. So that really is the dilemma. Now, a short time ago, we had a guy that was coming to our church that was really struggling with a marijuana addiction. Smoked marijuana every day. He was really struggling with this. He didn't know what to do. One day he came to church. You know what he decided to do? He decided, man, I want to put God first. I don't know how to do this. But he said, you know what? I've got this certain sum of money in my wallet, and if I walk out of here, I'm going to spend this all on drugs. He gave all of his drug money to Jesus that day when we gave the offering. By the way, it was a great offering that day. It was really good. I mean, you know, it's amazing how that happens. But he knew that if he took that with him, he was going to fall into temptation. And you know what? Beautifully, God began to do something in his heart that was so radical and so unique because he began to focus on the Lord and not just his addictions. And he began to focus on the things of God. And you know what? Several months later, he made a decision to make a clean break and he's been sober for over 1 year as he began to feed his life with the things of the Spirit and not of the flesh. It was just a temptation that he had given into. It was a negative pattern that he had established over and over and over in his life. And he got to the point where he was ready to make a change. And you know what? God wants you to make a change today. I don't know what's going on in your life. It may be a whole set of struggles and temptations that we haven't even mentioned today. But you know, the truth is it doesn't matter, because sin has a downward spiral regardless of what it is. But listen, when the power of the Spirit of God is ruling and reigning in our lives, and we're feeding the Spirit through the things of God, then we begin to overcome the temptations. We begin to walk in victory over those gotcha moments in our own life. And that's God's hope for every one of us today, is that we would let the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead live in us. And maybe today you'd like to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never begun a relationship with Him. You don't have the Holy Spirit in your life because you've never become a follower of Christ. And today you want to make that most important decision, that life-changing decision. And I want to lead you in a word of prayer at this time today, if you'd like to just begin your spiritual journey with Him today. Let's bow together. Just pray this in your own heart. Say, Lord, today, please forgive my sins. Lord, please forgive my sins. Make me a brand new person in Christ. Lord, make me a brand new person in Christ. I accept your forgiveness and grace today as I put my trust in Jesus and what he did at the cross and the resurrection. And now, Lord, help me to walk with you each day. And we pray these things all in the wonderful name of the one who gives us life. Amen.